الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. We've taken now, الحمد لله, about 5 or 6 of the salawat al-tatawwu' that are mentioned in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, and we shed light on some of those salat and their ahkam, and we want to continue this series inshaAllah. We have about 4 more salats to go, and the next 4 are some of the more important ones because we do them more often, like the Salatul Janaza and the Ahkam that are connected to the Salatul Janaza. So we have about 4 of these Salats today, and after these, because they're pretty short and easy, we're going to deal with maybe 3 or 4 other ones in detail, بإذن الله تعالى. From the Salawat that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has shown us, that are not the prayers that are obligatory, but they're the extra prayers that the Muslim can make, the Salat al-Tatawwu', is a prayer that not many people know about, and it is a prayer that during this time it has almost been forgotten and lost. So inshaAllah ta'ala, we want to remind you brothers of the virtues of reviving any of the sunnahs that have died. And from those sunnahs that have died is this particular sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is the salat that he used to make sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for entering into his home or for exiting from his home. There was a prayer that the Prophet would make sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was leaving his home, and there was a prayer that he made when he returned back to his home, and there are benefits from this particular prayer. We have in the authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Bazzar in his Musnad, with an authentic chain of narration on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, أَنَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالْ إِذَا دَخَلْتَ مَنْزَلَكَ فَصَلِّ رَكْعَتَيْنِ تَمْنَعَانَكَ مَدْخُلُ السُّوءِ فَإِذَا خَرَجْتَ مِنْ مَنْزَلِكَ فَصَلِّ رَكْعَتَيْنِ تَمْنَعَانَكَ مَخْرَجُ السُّوءِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us, when you enter into your home, then pray 2 rak'at because of that. Those 2 rak'at will prevent you from making an entrance that is evil. And when you exit from your home or you leave your home, then make 2 rak'at before doing so. For verily, those 2 rak'at will prevent you from making an exit that is evil. This hadith has been judged authentic by many of the ulama of Islam, from the Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani in his book, As-Silsilatul Al-Ahadith Al-Sahiha. His book, Silsilatul Al-Ahadith Al-Sahiha, hadith number 1323. He said that it was an authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as you can see, ikhwan, from the benefit of this prayer, of making the sunnah prayer before you leave and when you come back to your home, is that these 2 salats will protect you from having an exiting that is evil and an entering that is evil. He has taught us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and given us the divine protection that we need from Allah ta'ala, from the shaytan, to also make certain ad'iyah, certain dua and supplication whenever we're going to leave our homes and whenever we come into our homes. If we make these dua, the inside of our homes as well as our time in the home, we will be protected from a shaytan. He won't be able to eat with us. He won't be able to sleep with us. And similarly, in addition to this protection, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has given us these two salats to make. You can make them at any time. If you're coming to the masjid for Fajr, you can make these two raka'at, and they can be the niyyah of just leaving the home. They do not have to be the niyyah of praying the two raka'at of al-Fajr. You can make them at any time. When you come home after Salatul Asr even, you can make these two raka'at. The next hadith, ikhwan, is a hadith or a prayer that we want to advise and encourage and command the brothers to look after and to take care of, because a lot of times there is some negligence in this particular prayer. And that is from the Salatul At-Tatawwu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, that is extremely important, to the point that some of the ulama say that it is an obligation to make this prayer. Like Al-Imam Ahmed, like Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, like Al-Imam Malik, like Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, rahimahumullahu ta'ala. And that is the prayer that you make when you greet the masjid. When you come into the masjid, you should greet the masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam told us in the authentic hadith on the authority of Abu Qatada al-Sunani radiyallahu anhu, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدِ فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكَعْتَيْنِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَجْلِسِ. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. He told us, if any of you enters into the masjid, then let him make two raka'at before he sits down. That is in Bukhari and Muslim. Let him pray two raka'at before he sits down. He also told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a similar hadith, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَهَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدِ فَلَا يَجْلِسْ حَتَّى يُصَلِّيَ رَكَعْتَيْنِ. If anyone enters into the masjid, then do not let him sit down until he prays the two raka'at. The masjid has rights over us, and from the right of the masjid, and there are many, is that before a person sits down, he should pray those two raka'at. We had explained before, ikhwan, when we told you about the hadith of the Bedouin who came and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many salats do we have to make in the day and the night? And the Messenger of Allah said, you only have to make five prayers in the day and the night. The man said, do I have to make any more other than that? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no, unless you do the tatawwu. Because of that hadith, some of the scholars say that the tahiyyatul masjid, those two rak'ats, when you greet the masjid, they are not an obligation based upon that hadith. But as we mentioned before, there are certain prayers that are not from the five prayers that we know that are an obligation upon us by the ittifaq of the ulama of al-Islam, like the Salatul Janazah. So the majority of the ulama, like the ones who we just mentioned, Imam Malik, Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Ahmed, Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, and other than them, they were of the opinion that praying the two rak'at to greet the masjid is an obligation. Concerning praying the two rak'at of meeting the masjid, greeting the masjid, there are times when you should pray it, and there are times when you shouldn't pray it. There are times when you should pray it, the two greetings, and there are times when you shouldn't pray it. As for the time when you shouldn't pray it, and it is haram to greet the masjid, it is when the prayer has already been established. The obligatory prayer is in process. The people are making one of the obligatory prayers, and you come into the masjid. At this time, it is haram to pray the greeting of the masjid. And you are asim, or you are sinning if you do so. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, as Imam Muslim has narrated, he said that the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا أُقِيمَتُ الصَّلَاةُ فَلَا صَلَاةَ إِلَّا الْمَكْتُوبَ. If the obligatory prayer has been established and the iqama has been called, then there should be no prayer except the obligatory prayer. So that's the time when you can't pray the greeting to the masjid, and that is when the prayer that is an obligation has been started. You can't pray any other prayer. It is haram. Now there's a time when you should pray it, and many people don't pray. We just mentioned the time when you don't pray it, but some people pray it. How many masjids do we go to, especially for the Fajr, when the people are praying in the Jama'at? someone comes in late and they begin to pray the two rakat of the sunnah of Fajr, or the two rakat of reading the masjid. That's the prayer you shouldn't make. Now there is a time when you should make it, and some people don't pray it. And that is the time of the Jum'ah. When the Imam is given the khutbah, sometimes we find many people come into the masjid and they sit down to listen to the khutbah of the Imam. When in fact, before sitting down, you should greet the masjid. The proof of that are many. We have two here, like the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, who said that one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the name of Sulayk al-Ghaffafani radiallahu anhu, Sulayk came to the masjid for Jummah, and he sat down while the Prophet was praying, while the Prophet was giving the khutbah or the sermon. So the Prophet asked him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Sulayk, أَسَلَيْتَ رَقَعْتَيْنِ فَقَالَ لَا فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قُمْ فَرْقَ رَقَعْتَيْنِ وَتَجَوِّزْ فِيهِمَا. The Prophet said to him صلى الله عليه وسلم, Sulayk, he stopped the khutbah. Sulayk, did you pray the two rakat of greeting the masjid? Sulayk said no. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, get up Sulayk and pray the two rakat, and to make them quick. فَتَجَوِّزْ فِيهِمَا, pray them quick. Don't read with the long ayat of the Qur'an. Just read with the short surahs of the Qur'an, or maybe just Surah Al-Fatiha. Don't take a long time. Hurry up and pray so that you can listen to the Imam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, specifically addressing the issue, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ وَالْإِمَامُ يَخْطُو فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكَعْتَيْنِ وَلْيَتَجَوَّزْ فِيهِمَا. This hadith has been collected by Imam al-Bukhari wa Muslim. He said, if anyone enters the masjid while the Imam is giving the khutbah, then let him pray two rakat, and let him pray them quickly. And the meaning of praying quickly here is that you don't take a long time and go overboard, so that you'll miss the virtues of the khutbah. So, if the Imam in the masjid was on the minbar, and someone came in, and he sat down, and the Imam said to him, get up and pray, he should pray. This hadith, ikhwan, as a side issue, is a very important hadith, and there's some fiqh in it that we want to share with you, and that is, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said to Sulayk, Ya Sulayk, did you pray the two rakat? And Sulayk said no. He said, get up and pray the two rakat. And so he got up and he prayed. What does that show, Akhi Usama? It shows the permissibility of the Imam speaking to the people in the Musalla, the Musalleen. The Muslims who are praying, we know that on the day of Jummah, you should not talk to one another. You shouldn't even say to someone, be quiet. If you say to someone during the Jummah, be quiet, then you have also lost your Jummah. Some of the scholars say that if a person sneezes, and he sneezes during the Jummah, he doesn't have to say Alhamdulillah out loud. And if he says Alhamdulillah out loud, you don't have to say Yarhamakallah. So if people who are praying talk to each other during the Jummah, they destroy their Jummah. But it is permissible for the Imam to talk to the people, and the people to talk to the Imam. And we have a number of ahadith like that. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was the Khalifa, Uthman came to the Jummah late. And he came to the Jummah and he entered, he prayed his two rakat. Umar said to Uthman, why did you come late? Uthman said, because I didn't hear the adhan, I was late getting my things together, so I came without making the ghusl. So Umar says, so you have two evils, that you came late and you didn't make the ghusl, which according to him was an obligation. So we have Umar talking directly to Uthman radiallahu anhuma. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ikhwan, he told his companion Sulayk in front of everyone, get up and pray the two rakat. As it relates to the Jummah, while the Imam or while the Muaddin is making the Adhan, what should we do? Should we make the two rakat? so that our prayer coincides with the muezzin, or should we wait and repeat after the muezzin so that we can get the reward of making the dua of al-shafa'a after hearing the adhan? Probably, inshallah ta'ala, the best out of the two positions is to remain standing and to make the dua with the muezzin, to say what he says, and then to make the dua, and then to make the two rakat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows best. Now, there are two wajib things going on. The reading of the masjid is an obligation, and listening to the imam is an obligation as well. And also, he doesn't want to miss the reward of making the dua of the adhan. So usually the imam is going to start off with khutbah al-hajah. So by the time he gets into the subject matter of the khutbah, if the person is doing the sunnah of the greeting of the masjid by making it quick, he should be able to catch that prayer. And that's one of the reasons why khutbah al-hajah is also highly recommended, that the people who have time, who came in and they're standing up, to get all of the rewards without missing anything. As it relates to reading the masjid, ikhwan, we have the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. We have the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. And we want to know, when you go to Mecca, do you have to also make the two rakats to greet Mecca? Or do you make the seven tawafs around the Kaaba? There is a hadith that said that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, tahiyyatul bayt at-tawaf. Reading the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, the way you make the greeting is by making the tawaf. This particular hadith doesn't have any origin. It is a fabricated hadith. You won't even find a chain of narration for it. So many of the books of fiqh that use this hadith, they say that if you want to greet the Masjid in Mecca, the way you greet it is by making the tawaf. You said no. What is authentic from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his statement that you pray the two rakats even in the masjid in Mecca. But if you are a traveler, you are a person who has come to Mecca to make umrah or al-hajj, and you're just coming to the masjid, then you should make the tawaf, as that is from the manasik of al-hajj and umrah. So if you are coming for the first time, and you're coming to make the rites of al-hajj or al-umrah, now you don't pray the two rakats. If you have time, you make the seven circumambulations around the Kaaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Anyone who has been to Mecca, anyone who has been to Mecca in the month of Ramadan, or who has been to Mecca on a Friday, or who has been to Mecca for Salatul Fajr, Al-Maghrib, or Al-Isha, he knows the difficulty that a person is going to have if he tries to greet the masjid by making seven tawaf around the Kaaba. There are always a lot of people, and Allah ta'ala has not made any difficulty in our religion. So even the Masjid of Mecca, you should make the two rakat to greet it, unless you are a mu'tamar or a hajj, or unless you are coming from outside of the sacred precinct. The next prayer that we want to mention, ikhwan, is a prayer that is actually connected to Salatul Fajr, but it is not only for the Fajr, but the reward that the Prophet talked about, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, is connected to the Fajr in the masjid. And that is the Salat that is called Salatul Ishraq. Salat al-Ishraq, or the Salat of the rising of the sun. That the Muslim waits after praying the Fajr prayer, and when the sun comes up, he makes two rak'at. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam told us in the authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Tabarani and the authority of Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu, من صلى صلاة الصبح في مسجد جامع يثبت فيه حتى يصلي صبحة الضحى كان كأجر حاج أو معتمر تاما حجته وعمرته He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and look at this reward as we just talked about going to Mecca. He said, whoever prays the Fajr prayer in the masjid and in the jama'ah, not in his home, whoever prays the Salatul Fajr in the masjid and in the jama'ah, and then after making the salah, he remains in his position where he made the salah, he remains there. And then after that, he gets up and he prays the, what the Prophet called here, Subhat al-Duha. He prays the prayer of a duha. He calls it here, when the sun first comes up. He said, whoever does that, he will get the reward of a person who made Hajj, or a person who made Umrah. The complete reward of a person who made Hajj, or the person who made Umrah. So we want to draw your attention to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called the Salatul Ishraq al-Duha, which goes to show that al-Duha begins at this time as well, in al-Islam. We're going to deal with it, inshaAllah ta'ala, after this Salatul Duha. So from the Salawat, that is the Salat al-Tatawwa, is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the prayer of al-Ishraq, and that is the prayer where you pray the Salat al-Fajr. You remain in your position by making the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making the dhikr and the adhkar of the sunnah, or whatever you want to make dhikr with, reading the book of Allah and memorizing the Quran. After that, you get up in your spot and then you make the salah or the two rakat. The reward of that is that you will get the umrah in its complete form, and you will get the hajj, which doesn't mean if you make this prayer that hajj is not an obligation upon you. The hajj is still an obligation upon you. Now we come to the last prayer that we're going to deal with today, inshallah, and it has some more expansive information as it relates to its ahkam, and that is Salatul Duha. Salat al-Duha, which is an important prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by al-Duha in the Quran, and Allah never swears by anything in the Quran unless it is important. Allah never swears by anything in the Quran unless it is important. Al-Imam al-Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, who was from an area, from the area that is known as Ash-Sham, he was the scholar of that time. And he was the scholar of that area in Ash-Sham. And in Ash-Sham, one of the foods that the people there are well known for is that they're well known for their zaytun, the olives. He was sitting at the ma'idah, he was sitting at a walima, and someone started to say that they didn't like olives and they didn't want to eat the olives. So Imam al-Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala explained to them, even though you don't like the olives, you should realize that Allah has swore by the olives in the Quran, and Allah ta'ala never swears by anything except that it is important. And only Allah can swear by His creation. As for us, we only swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the virtues of Suratul Duha, in addition to Allah swearing by His time in the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he told us in the authentic hadith, it's been collected by Imam Muslim from the authority of Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari radiyallahu anhu. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم يصبح على كل سلام من أعدكم صدقة فكل تسبيحة صدقة وكل تحميدة صدقة وكل تهليلة صدقة وكل تكبيرة صدقة وأمر بالمعروف صدقة ونهي عن المنكر صدقة ويجزى من ذلك ركعتان يركعهما من الضحى. He's showing the virtues of this prayer. We see that we are indebted. The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when the person wakes up in the morning, his joints in his body, all of his joints, wherever there is a joint in the body, they owe a sadaqah. They owe. They have to repay. The human being has to give thanks for the joint. And the joint, they owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet said, one of the ways you can repay having this health, having the amana, one of the ways that you can repay is whenever you say subhanallah, this is a sadaqah. Whenever you say alhamdulillah, a sadaqah. La ilaha illallah, a sadaqah. Allahu Akbar, a sadaqah. Enjoining the good, a sadaqah. Prohibiting and preventing the munkar, a sadaqah. And he said, what would take care of all of that for all of the joints is that you make two rak'ahs of a duha. If the person made salatul duha, he would have given the sadaqah for all of the joints in his body. So that shows that a duha is two rak'ahs. Another hadith that shows the virtues of a duha is the hadith of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. The Messenger of Allah, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this hadith al-Qudsi, Ibn Adam, irka'li min awwal al-nahar arba raka'atin akfika ajru. This hadith is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi. Allah said to us, O son of Adam, make four raka'at at the beginning of the day, awwal al-nahar, and it can be at that ishraq time. Make four raka'at at the beginning of the day, and I will give you the reward for that. So that shows the virtues of a duha, and that it can be not only two raka'at, but it also can be four. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that he heard the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yuhafiz ala salatu duha illa awwab. No one will protect and preserve, no one will take care of the duha prayer except the person who is repentant, the person who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repetitively making repentance. He said about a duha, وَهِيَ صَلَاتُ الْأَوَّابَ. The salat of a duha is the salat of the people who make the tawbah. So those are some of the virtues of the prayer of a duha. When you make it, ikhwan, you give the sadaqah for all of the joints in the body. As for the best time to make a duha, it can be made at the beginning, at the ishraq time, because the hadith said that. Ibn Adam, make four raka'at at the beginning of the nahar, and I'll reward you with that. But the best time for a duha is when the sun starts to get hot. Before the dhuhr time, by maybe an hour and 15 minutes, when the sun starts to cause the ground, the sand, to become hot, you can find and feel the effect of the sun on the ground. The proof of that is that the Messenger of Allah, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatul awwabin hina talman al-fasal. The prayer, meaning of duha, of those who are repentant, is the prayer that the knees of the camels become hot. The knees of the camels, they become hot. The meaning of that hadith is that if the people were riding the camels at that time, when they put the camel on the ground, that's the time when the ground was the hottest. So he told us that the salat of the awabin, the salat of a duha, the best time for it is when the camels, when their knees become hot. So it's 10:30, 11 o'clock, before the dhuhr time, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. As it relates to the way it's to be prayed, ikhwan, salat of duha can be made with two rak'ahs, it can be made with four rak'ahs, it can be made with six rak'ahs, it can be made with eight, and it can be made with 12. It was not reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did more than 12, nor is it reported that he did 10. He made two, or four, or six, or eight, or 12. And he said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in mentioning these particular numbers. Two or four or six or eight or 12. He did them And when he ordered the people to do them and encouraged the people to pray him, he said to pray 2, or 4, or 6, or 8, or 12, and he didn't mention 10. The proof of that is, we already mentioned the hadith, that when you pray 2 rak'ahs of a duha, it is a sadaqah for every joint in your body. As for the proof of 4, O son of Adam, pray 4 rak'ahs at the beginning of the day, and I'll reward it for you. I will reward you for it. As for 6, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu qal, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي الضحى 6 ركعات. الإمام الترمذي in his book الشمال المحمدية الشمائل المحمدية, he narrated this authentic narration and Anas ibn Malik, and it said the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to pray الضحى 6 ركعات. As for 8, the aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عمته أم هاني رضي الله عنها قالت لما كان عام الفتح صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 8 ركعات صبحة الضحى. She said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he conquered Mecca and he opened up Mecca, he prayed 8 rak'at for the prayer of al-duha. As for 12, pay attention, he didn't mention 10. As for 12, the proof of 12 mentions all of the numbers we just given, 2, 4, 6, 8, and 12. As for 12, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he said, قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَنْ صَلَّ الدُّحَى رَكَعْتَيْنِ لَمْ يُكْتَبْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ وَمَنْ صَلَّ أَرْبَعًا كُتِبَ مِنَ الْعَابِدِينَ وَمَنْ صَلَّ سِتًا كَفَى ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ وَمَنْ صَلَّ ثَمَانِيًا كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ وَمَنْ صَلَّ 12 ركعة بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in establishing these numbers, whoever prays the duha prayer 2 rak'ah, he will not be written down as being from those people who are incognizant. Mughafirin. Whoever prays Salatul Duha 4 rak'ah, he will be written down as being from the Abidin, those people who worship Allah. Whoever prays 6 rak'ah, that will be enough for him that day. Those 6 rak'ah will be enough to protect him that day. And whoever prays the Salatul Duha 8 rak'ah, Allah will write him down from being in the Qanitin, those people who are obedient to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And whoever prays 12 rak'ah, then Allah Ta'ala will build for him a house in Jannah. So those are the numbers that he gave, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. As it relates, ikhwan, to the 4 rak'ah, the virtues of the 4 rak'ah is you will be written down as being from amongst the abideen. How should they be prayed? Should they be prayed 4 straight like he used to do in the witr? Should they pray like that? The way that they should be prayed, insha'Allah ta'ala, is the way we pray any prayer that has 4 rak'at. Any prayer that has 4 rak'at, you pray the 4 rak'at of a duha like that, and you can also pray it in 2 rak'at and then give the taslim. He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatul layli wal nahari masna masna, the prayer of the daytime, the sunnah prayer of the daytime, and the sunnah prayer of the nighttime is 2, 2. So if the prayer has multiple rak'at, 12, then you can pray them 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows best. So that's what we wanted to say today, ikhwan, about these 3 or 4 prayers, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the salat of going into the home and coming out of the home, as well as the prayer of greeting the masjid. Whenever the Muslim comes into the masjid, he should greet the masjid with 2 rak'at. And even if he didn't know it at one time, and then he heard it for the first time, he should get up and do it, as it happened with Sulayk. That's another thing we learn from that hadith. Sulayk didn't know. So he sat down. The Prophet asked his companion, did you make the two rak'ahs yet too late? He said, no, I didn't make the two rak'ahs of greeting the messenger. He said, get up and make the two rak'ahs. Why? Because as we mentioned, he commanded, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدِ فَلَا يَجْلِسْ حَتَّى يُسَلِّيَ رَكَعْتَيْنِ. Also, that shows us as it relates to al-Ishraq and al-Duha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows best. Do you brothers have any questions about these particular salawat that we took today? Naam, Abu Tasmi.
The
salat of Duha, and you mentioned 12 rak'ahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill their house in Jannah.
Does that mean that the person should continue
with
the prayers, or if he does
them
one time, the house
should
be
filled? Inshallah, if a person does 12 rak'ahs once, inshallah, this hadith will hit him. Yudrikuhu, inshallah. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't make any taqeed. But we mentioned when we did the first class about at-tatawwu, that the deed that is most beloved to Allah ta'ala is what is done consistently, even though it is a little. So if a person makes 12 rak'ah just one time, inshallah ta'ala, he is going to be from the ahl of those people who did that salat. And the reward of the Jannah, the reward of the house being in Jannah, built for him, it applies to him in Allah ta'ala. And the delil for that is what? That Allah's Prophet ﷺ didn't make any taqeed. He made the itlaq and said, whoever does it, whoever prays 12, wallahu alam.
Is it narrated that the Prophet ﷺ did salat of Duha all the time? With the same consistency, for example, like
the Yusuf prayer? Yeah, he used to leave. The Prophet ﷺ did not hold on to the Duha prayer all the time like he did the Witr and the Fajr, which he did whether he was a muqeem or whether he was a musafir. But he prayed it often. He went to the home of Umm Hani. He took some cloth and they brought him some water. He made the wudu. He sprinkled the water in certain portions of the house where he was going to pray to keep the dust down. And he prayed those two rak'ahs to give the barakah to them in their home, as well as to show them this prayer of Duha. But he wasn't consistent upon it like he was consistent upon the two rak'ahs of al-Fajr and the Witr. Namahi, and then Abu Abdullah, Namahi, Murtada. Nam. Al-Ishraq, Ikhwan, he called it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Duha. The Prophet called al-Ishraq, he called it al-Duha. So the Salat al-Duha actually begins with the rising of the sun. Once it is up, and it's distinct and it's up, that prayer right there is technically called a duha because he said that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ibn Adam irka li arba raka'at awal nahar subhat al-duha ajzi laka ajruhu. So he called it a duha. Namath magic.
If
a person comes into the masjid and didn't pray the two rak'ahs of greeting the masjid, what should he do? If he came in at the time that there is a prohibition, like when the sun is at its zenith, when the sun is rising, when the sun is setting, what should he do? If it's a short time, then he should remain standing without praying. This way, he didn't sit down, so he didn't disobey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from that injustice. حَتَّى يُسَلِّي رَكَعْتَيْنِ. He didn't disobey him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if he remains standing without praying, he also doesn't disobey Allah azza wa jal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who prohibited us from praying at those particular times. So if he can wait that minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, inshallah, that's the best thing. But as Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, who is the one who was mashhoor, he was well known for coming up with this comprehension. He said that if there is a salat, that sabab, if there is a prayer that has a reason for it, behind it, and it coincides with a time that is impermissible, then you can still make that prayer, because it has a reason. There is a particular reason that you should make that prayer, and as a result of that, it takes away the prohibition because it has a reason. Like that coming into the masjid at that time, there's a reason. Normally you wouldn't pray, but you came into the masjid, so you have the rukhsa now to make that particular prayer, and Allah Ta'ala knows that. As for the person who sits down without making the 2 rak'at, obviously those scholars who say that the salat is wajib, they're going to say that he's atham. They're going to say that he's sinning. How is it that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would interrupt the khutbah when the people took their time out to come, and he says in front of everyone and teaching the whole community, Ya Sulaik, did you pray the 2 rak'at to reach the masjid? He said no. He said get up and pray and make them quick, no short. So when you hear that happen with the Sulaik, he wasn't arrogant and said I'm not going to make them. So if a person doesn't know, inshallah there's no problem, but if he knows, he should make those salat. But again, there are scholars who are of the opinion it's not wajib, so it's something that you wouldn't be shadeed in like that. Any more questions, Ikhwan? Now. Now, during the Jummah, the people in the masjid, they can ask the Imam a question. If it's not from the Abbas, just wasting time. If there's a real need to talk to the Imam, you can talk to the Imam. Can you tell the people to move up? You tell the Imam that. There's no problem. Someone's car is blocking out there. You can tell the Imam that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the khutbah, and the Bedouin came in while he was given the khutbah, and he told him, Ya Rasulullah, halakat al-amwal, our money has been lost, because there was no rain that came down. Our money is lost. Our animals are dying. Make dua for us. Make this istisqa. So he interrupted Rasulullah during the khutbah, and he talked to the Imam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hands up on the minbar, started making dua. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said when we came out of the masjid, we looked at the mountain called Al-Qala', which is still in Medina right now. You can see it when you come out of Bab al-Salam. You can see it's a famous mountain. He said we saw a small cloud the size of a shield, and it started getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it surrounded all of Medina, and it rained 1 week. The man came back the next week, Abdullah bin Abbas, and knew was it the same man or another man, but he was a Bedouin. He said, Ya Rasulullah, our money is lost. Pray to Allah that he takes it away. So the Prophet ﷺ put his hands up, and he asked Allah not to stop the rain, but he asked Allah to take the rain and to put it over in the mountains so that it can come down into the spring. So the man talked to the Prophet, and he talked to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was given the khutbah on the minbar. The Bedouin came in and said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a man who doesn't know my deen. Rasulullah got off of the minbar, told him to bring me a chair, sat down and started teaching the man his religion. So all of those prove what? On the day of the Jummah, the permissibility of the people talking to the Imam and the Imam talking to them, but the impermissibility of people talking to each other. As for the hadith, Ikhwan, that is famous, that Umar radiallahu anhu was on the minbar, and he began khutbah al-hajah, and then after that he said to the people, Ya ayyuhan nas istami'u ilayya, O people, listen to what I have to say. And then Salman al-Farisi stood up and said, we're not going to listen to you until you answer, why do you have 2 thobes? And we only have 1 thobe. And then Umar radiallahu anhu said, I'll let Abdullah ibn Umar answer that question. Abdullah ibn Umar, why do I have 2 thobes and anyone else have 1 thobe from the jihad? Abdullah ibn Umar said, I gave my father my thobe from the jihad. I gave him mine because his was old and ripped up. And then Umar said, is that satisfactory, Salman? Salman said, yes, and had it not been like that, we would have dealt with you with the sword. This hadith is not authentic. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ would never, ever, ever try to approach the Imam of the Muslims like that. Ever would they approach the leader of the Muslims like that. Revolt and renegade in front of each other, it would never happen. That is not an authentic statement. Umar was on the minbar and he told the people, whoever continues to give the dowry that is expensive, we're going to only allow you to give this much and put the rest in the Baytul Mal. The woman stood up and said, should the Amir al-Mu'mineen be followed or the Book of Allah? He said, the Book of Allah got more right to be followed. And then she read the ayat of the Quran, and if you ma'ruf, so you leave the ma'ruf over there. Someone sneezes, to say Yarhamak Allah is from the ma'ruf. But over here you allow to leave off the ma'ruf, over here you allow to leave off the ma'ruf. And Allah knows best. Any more questions, ikhwan? هذا وصلى الله وسلم